Welcome to the Smoke and Rope Podcast, the show that brings together Michigan's top cannabis growers, advocates, and business owners to offer a fresh and honest perspective of Michigan's cannabis industry. Stick with us to get the lowdown from the people who have been on the ground floor of cannabis business in Michigan and gain insights into where the industry may be heading.
All right, welcome to our very first episode of the Smoke and Rope Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Basor. With this podcast, we're going to be exploring the ins and outs of Michigan's cannabis industry from the perspective of the men and women who have been there and built it from the ground up. We're going to cover a lot of different topics: the history of legalization in Michigan, industry trends, growing tips, state and federal regulations, predictions, and we're even going to be doing some fun taste testing, sampling. And we'll be able to talk to the men and women that grew and processed those products as well. I'm going to be your regular host, but we'll have a whole team of regulars who will check in and out of our episodes to provide their insights and knowledge about the business of cannabis and how it relates to Michigan. For the first episode, allow me to introduce to you Tom Beller from Real Leaf Solutions, Sam Rosinski from Fresh Coast Extracts, and Kevin Pybus from True Cannabis. How you guys doing?
Excellent.
Doing good, Ryan. Thanks for asking, buddy.
Hey, Ryan. Pleasure to be on the show.
All right. Thanks, guys. I guess I'd like to have each person just briefly discuss who they are, your business, connection to the industry, and how you got started. Go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin.
My name is Kevin Pybus. I'm with True Cannabis. I partnered with Ryan on the Redemption Project. We grow the Willie's Kush Cake, the Mint and Cake Batter, some Agent Orange, the Irene OG. Yeah, that's what we got going on.
Excellent. Excellent. Kevin's in Lansing, which is where Redemption's located. So we got a whole team of Northerners and two of us Lansing guys. So, yeah. Sam, tell us a little bit about yourself and Fresh Coast.
Again, Ryan, thank you for having me on the show. My name is Sammy Rosinski. I am the Chief Executive Officer over at Fresh Coast Extracts. We are the primary processor in the Redemption Project. I've had the pleasure of being able to run both Kevin and Tom's material into live resin cartridges, THCA crystalline, or diamonds as we call them. And we also have a myriad of new products that are coming out to market. So, you know, working with, you know, not only you, Ryan, but also Tom and Kevin, it's made my job really easy. So, you know, we package, distribute, and also extract the products. And, you know, happy to be working with you on this project.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we're happy we found you, Sam. Tom, give us a little bit about yourself and Real Leaf.
My name's Tom Beller. I'm Chief Operating Officer and owner here at Real Leaf Solutions up in Kalkaska in northern Michigan. Alongside with Sam here, we're up in beautiful northern Michigan, kind of isolated in our little bubble. We are a Class C cultivator of medical and recreational cannabis. And as Sam had just mentioned, that he has run our product into his, our own line of concentrates and live resin cartridges, diamonds, batter, sugar, etc. Very excited to be a part of the Redemption family. With Ryan, we offer currently pre-rolls and moving into pre-packaged flower and soon concentrates.
Yeah, I can't wait. And you guys did provide the Tangy Cookie flower for that gauge exclusive we did with Fresh Coast as well. And that was real nice. Can't wait for those carts to hit. And another guest that'll be on from time to time is Driven Grow, Drew Driver. He's the other strategic partner in Redemption right now, along with these three gentlemen. And he's up in Frederick, Michigan, another grower, and doing well, just running. As these guys know, it's not a lot of spare time. So as you're running one of these companies, and you know, you guys aren't the guys that are just sitting back and telling people what to do. You guys are so hands-on. I really appreciate everyone taking the time to be on this. So this is our first show, and a lot of people have been asking me, what is Redemption? What are you doing? I get asked, where's your grow at? Where's your processing? So I just wanted to explain a little bit, and it's even from some industry people. I've decided when last fall, I'd started to think about, you know, how am I going to get back in the industry with my own company? And I'd always wanted to do a brand and just was brainstorming. And Gage Cannabis Company awarded me a $50,000 social equity grant so I could start this without going into debt or taking on a partner or, you know, just or having to worry about making some decisions based on finances. So it was great. I then reached out to Drew, Tom, and Kevin and got them on board as far as the growers. The reason I went with those guys is because I've known them. One of the big focuses, the biggest focus for me in businesses right now is working with people I like and good people. And because you're always going to have issues in business and problems, and it's how you react to them. So that was the foundation, besides the fact that these guys have all been caregivers for a long time and grow great product and had figured out how to do that in the regular market. And then, you know, I met Sam a few times. We'll get into that later about the when we first met up at a wild municipality meeting. We kept running into each other on the road. And I started hearing about Fresh Coast and their products, and it clicked, and it's been great. So Redemption is co-branding. We're featuring these guys instead of a big logo and a corporation with a catchy tagline, growing your marijuana. It's these guys and processing it. It's these guys that have been doing it, love it, and are in there actually interacting with the plants, even as the owners, which is not something that's that common right now. So, and you know, I'm real thankful. 10% of all the revenue that Redemption receives is going to the Redemption Foundation nonprofit. And we're going to do a lot of good with criminal justice reform and helping people that have been wronged by the war on cannabis. So I'm really excited. That's what Redemption's about. I'm usually up in my office in Lansing, smoking on a joint and talking on the phone. So I appreciate these guys doing all the hard work. But what we're going to talk about today is really, we want to talk a lot about it, but today is the history of Michigan marijuana and what's gone on. So that's such a broad topic. We're going to be talking about it for a long time. I wanted to just talk with these three gentlemen and ask them, you know, ask you guys, when did you get into it? Why? How did you kind of all of a sudden realize that this is what you're going to be doing the rest of your life? You guys all had that aha moment, as I did, and you have to be able to get into it as early as we did. So why don't we start off with Tom? Tom, you know, what's your story behind where you're at now?
My story does kind of harken back to the times as a wee lad, just enjoying cannabis throughout my younger years. And I ran across cultivation in kind of a haphazardly way. As a musician, I was on my way to what I thought was going to be a rehearsal. When I got to the rehearsal space, there were several cars there, but nobody answering the door or the window. And after about 15 minutes of knocking on the windows, finally got someone answer the door. And they told me to come inside, and it was several people around a table trimming up flower. And they said, grab some scissors and sit down. And from there on out, it turned into an apprenticeship type of situation. And, you know, way back in the day of when, you know, when we were growing tomatoes and everyone was working in the tomato realm, and everyone was going to the, you know, going to the grow store under cover of night, or, you know, parking down the street or whatever you had to do in order to get your squirrel cage fans for $300 or whatever. So, you know, technically speaking, with cannabis, really, it came in 2008 when the laws changed. And that was a glorious, glorious year. Barack Obama became president. Not going to get political, but everything seemed to change that day, especially in Michigan. And I immediately became a caregiver for myself and my father and several other people in my family. And over time, it just kind of blossomed into, you know, patients needing medicine and we would have overages and work with provisioning centers in Lansing exclusively. And that's where I met you, Ryan.
Yep. No, that's great. I remember it because you had the it was my friends who treated me well, and you know they've been friends we've known for a while over at Kind, and you were going to Dr. Deadhead?
The Dr. Deathskunk, yeah, one to one.
Dr. Deathskunk, the high CBD, and everyone was raving about it. And then we tried your other flower, and that was I couldn't try it, but I was smelling it. That was late 2015. I was not allowed to smoke yet, and it was good. And then of course we went up to Kalkaska and worked together getting your spot, and it's thankful it's worked out. So
cool story.
Sam, tell us a little bit about what when you got into it. I didn't know. I when you told me before, you've been a caregiver for 10 years, and I was thinking a little funny. I was like, how old is this dude? And is he even old enough to be a caregiver 10 years? And would he get it when he was 18? And then I read our article in the MICAA, and yeah, you did get it on your 18th birthday. So, give me a little background about that.
Yeah, that is correct. I did get my card on my 18th birthday, and I've been involved in cannabis, and I think that's where I can lawfully say that's where I got my start in cannabis, certainly legal cannabis. And one of the things that really drew me to the industry was the plant itself. It's a harbinger of social change. Peering through the High Times magazines growing up, we knew that Prop 1 had passed out in California, and we're just sitting around the table thinking, like, oh my gosh, what would happen if Michigan became another state that was like that? And that kind of got my mind racing as to all the social benefits that it could provide medicinally, economically, industrially. I just knew that at some point I wanted to be on the right side of history. So, when I had my first opportunity to really sink my teeth into the industry, I jumped on there. I went to Dr. Dave Crocker and Annette down at Michigan Holistic Health down in Kalamazoo. And ended up getting my card. And that for me was probably the most exciting thing that had ever happened to me at that time. This is a way for me to kind of get really involved in the art and science of cultivation, really understanding some of the new techniques that were coming out, really starting to understand and master the new technologies that were coming out. We had just hit this inflection curve where companies were starting to invest in this industry. And I knew that it was a wave that I wanted to ride. That kind of led me through the rabbit hole of not only just, understanding the craft, but also to, understanding the legality behind it, understanding zoning laws, understanding real estate, construction, everything that seemed to encompass, this almighty plant. And that's where I met you, Tom, and Kevin was on this road. And together we're really starting to create this new normal in this new sense of, what Michigan can be. And so I'm just extremely excited to be a part of this. And especially too, when you and I had met, you had mentioned Redemption and what Redemption was setting out to do, social equity givebacks around different communities. It was just philosophically, it was something that I'd really aligned with, along with being able to utilize the plant. So that's, that's kind of the zero to now is how I got involved in this industry.
Yeah, that's great. I think I ran into you probably at four or five different municipalities, and we might have. I haven't told you this. I think the first one was in might have been Acme, and I turned and I was like, "Who is?" Yeah, I think you showed up though. You had been working. You showed up in like a t-shirt and jeans, and you were saying had incredible knowledge, all passionate, and using really big words. And I was like, "Who is this kid?" And I was laughing, and then eventually when we went up to up there in Leelanau, where if I ever make a movie, you got it. It was the wildest municipality meeting I've ever been in or heard of. It was something out of Reefer Madness with federal agents there and you name it. It was wild. So it's great. We met 3-4 years ago, but in Michigan cannabis, that's compared to the regular, that's like a decade. So. Appreciate you. And Kevin, I know you got a little head start on us, being out, you're from Howell, but you were out in Colorado when their law passed. So tell us about that.
Yeah. You'd said something earlier about, you know, when was your aha moment? And, you know, my aha moment was actually long before I actually started growing. And that was the first time I had smoked something other than Mexican brickweed. You know, when the first time I got to taste, you know, somebody's kind, but that they had really taken care of, it was just like, it was just mind blowing for me. That was my aha moment. And I knew then that I wanted to be able to try to do something like that. I wanted to be able to grow really good flower. And I was, you know, tired of smoking what we had been, you know, forced into. And so then later on in life, you know, I was working with Ford Motor Company in Michigan and transferred out to Colorado. That was in 2002. I had been dealing with a lot of back issues. I'd been to all kinds of specialists for MRIs and x-rays and injections. And they all, you know, were you know, basically prescribing prescription medications, narcotics, muscle relaxers. And, you know, I really knew that that wasn't the route for me. And, you know, was actually out and about in Colorado, and went into a store somewhere. I don't remember exactly where, but I had seen one of those, you know, pamphlets that was, you know, stuck on the now hiring wall or whatever at the gas station. And it had said, you know, get your medical marijuana card. And it had the little pull tabs with a phone number like a garage sale would have. And I remember calling the guy and we went over my medical history, and he you know, agreed that you know, that I would benefit from the use of medical marijuana, and recommended me to a doctor, and ended up getting my medical card in Colorado in 2002. Ended up being, you know, one of the first 50 people in the state of Colorado to get their medical card. And right away, I started working with this guy. He was an old hippie named Bill. And, you know, he set me up with some clones and some plants. Bill was the type of guy that, you know, that he didn't have the luxury of being able to go to groceries or grow stores and pick up nutrients and all that stuff. So he had really been one of those pioneers that had developed a system of finding common ingredients around town that he could make into a nice grow setup. And so in 2002, I started growing. In 2007, I actually ended up taking a buyout from Ford Motor Company and started working full time in the cannabis industry, setting up commercial grow warehouses. And then in 2014, my dad got sick and went to the hospital. And so I moved back to Michigan to be with my family, and noticed that, you know, Michigan was quite a bit behind Colorado as far as, you know, having laws in place and whatnot. And so I got heavily involved with trying to write some legislation to get us some licensing here in Michigan. Made a lot of mistakes in Colorado, but learned from those and got involved right away. And helped get some legislation passed, made application for our licenses, and invested every dollar that we had back into the company to be able to get some grow facilities and a dispensary. Right now, I have a Class A license here in Lansing, Michigan, and been growing for Ryan. And yeah, super excited about what we got coming up.
No, that's great. I remember, you know, I got out of prison and in the halfway house and was getting to come to Lansing in 2015. And I immediately, you know, wanted to know what was going on. And Cannabis Sewer had opened, and you know, people were saying, ah, these guys from Colorado that grow really good bud. And it's like, cool. And then I think Robin had told me a little bit about you. And then, you know, you were at a Chicago event, NCIA, and met Passerini, one of my buddy, longtime almost childhood buddies. And, he referred you over to me. I was doing social media strictly pretty much for, and websites for cannabis companies. So pretty cool. You know, everybody that's a part of Redemption, that's one of the strategic partners is someone that I had a previous relationship with, and we've worked together or done some stuff, and you know, some more than others, but it worked out real well. So I appreciate that. And, you know, like one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast is because I used to consult until I started Redemption, and also was the business development director of the MICIA. But all I do is, you know, consulting is talk about Michigan cannabis, and that's what I do. Now I'm just doing this with you guys. But all I still talk about is cannabis all day, and Michigan cannabis. It's 24/7. And you guys are the same way. And I said, why not put it out there? Because I'm constantly getting calls from people wanting me to consult, and I can't. And I'm now, so anyone listening out there, if you got a question you want to hear, or you would want to ask me, go ahead and send us an email, and we'll help you out. So, real quick, I got into cannabis in Michigan in 2008. The law passed, and we've talked about this. Barack, like you said, Tom, Barack Obama was elected. I was excited, but that's when all of a sudden I saw Michigan medical marijuana law passed, and I didn't even know it was on the ballot until I voted, to be honest with you. And it hit, and then I became one of the first patients in the state, and took off from there. So. Speaking of that, one of the things that we're really all about, all of us, is remembering and the real history of Michigan marijuana and what really happened. There's a lot of new people coming in, kind of trying to rewrite history. And, you know, so, hey, if I didn't know, none of us just said that we were a part of that legalization campaign. So all those people that, you know, did all this before us that didn't do it for money, or anything of that pure activism, the Tim Becks, the Reverend Steve, Renee Wolf, Rainbow Farm, Tom and Raleigh, and Adam Brooke, and Renee, Bob Bildori. There's a lot of people that just put in a lot of time. And that's something, of course, John Sinclair, and that's something that we're all about, and we never want that to be forgotten, because Michigan has some of the richest cannabis history now in the world. And we're hopefully carrying that on in a good way. But speaking of that, one of the things that I, from a business standpoint, and we've talked about it, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion. How are you guys deciding who you're getting your product to? What stores? There's a shortage. You guys all have great product. It's at a premium. It's priced fair. You could call one store, and one store would buy it all. But that's not how we're doing it. So I just had a really cool lunch with a family that's mom and pop is going to be opening a rec dispensary in Lanesburg, where I lived in my 20s, and I'm excited about it. And that's the type of stuff I know for me, I'm really looking out for, is these people that have a dream, and it's not the big corporate guys that don't really smoke or care about cannabis. It's the people that are putting their life, heart, and soul into it and are living it. So that's kind of how I'm deciding. And let's hear from you, Sam. What's your decision making process?
Well, you get two choices. Number one, you can work for a paycheck, or number two, you can work for a partnership. We side with the latter of the two. You know, I think that's pretty evident in how we've been able to create this association of redemption. And when we look at ways that we can delineate who would be good partners in the space, you look at a good cultural fit, you look at how the business model plays out. And by and large, I'm not sure if everyone knows this or not, but we are a distributor of multiple different brands outside of Redemption. And I say that because by and large, Redemption, working with you, Ryan, Real Leaf, as well as True Cannabis with Kevin, has afforded us the luxury of working with good people. And you don't always come across that in this space. You got some people who are in it for just the money, and this isn't a job; it's a calling. At the end of the day, the commoditization of cannabis will eventually ensue. There will be a race to the bottom, and it's to those who care about, customer service and quality. Those are the people who are going to help prevent, the collapse or the consolidation of pricing. We look for a good fit with working with different retailers when trying to decide who we're going to be selling product to. Will they undercut the competition just to get over on them? Or are they in it for the long haul? Do they stand for the same, the core values that we do as an organization? So it's really about the people that we work with. It's really about the relationships that we try to extend, because at the end of the day, we're looking for long-term partners in the space.
Now that's great. It's really fun being in Michigan right now. I know, everyone has their daily struggles, but this isn't easy. But this is a pure blessing that we get to do this. And Michigan, unlike other states, because we wrote our own law, it wasn't done by lawmakers and lobbyists. We're the little guy right now, I believe, isn't only thriving. Isn't only surviving. In a lot of cases, they're thriving and doing well. And that's not the case in other states that have monopolistic type laws, which we know people are still trying to get in Michigan. So, you know, not only do we get to do this, but we get to fight for the little guys. And I compare it to how we got legalized. We did a lot of guerrilla warfare. We just kept coming, punching, little initiative here in the city here, change public perception. And I really believe us sticking together along with others can do the same and keep Michigan, you know, one of the top marijuana cannabis places to be in the world. So I'm excited. Kevin, how I know, I appreciate it. A lot of your stuff is going to Redemption, but what's some of the things that you're thinking about when either that takes place or is going to take place, if you've thought about it?
Well, it's the same things you guys have already talked about. You know, one, I do have a small operation right now, so the majority of our product does go to Redemption. But the product that we do have left over, you know, we're always trying to take care of people that we know that if we were down would take care of us. You know, I want to have an impact on the industry for the small guy. And I want, if I have got even just a little bit to get rid of at the end of the month, you know, I want to make sure that it's, you know, it's helping somebody that needs the help. Good people make for good relationships. And, you know, that's the easiest thing for me. We've got a lineup of people that are interested in our products. So, you know, that is the nice part is to be able to feel like you also are helping somebody. We could go the route of gouging people. I've seen, you know, people do that so far in this industry, but we know that would come around back at us when there is a race to the bottom. And so we try to take care of people now with the thought that they'll take care of us later. And that's what good people do. So it's easy for us.
Yeah, that's great. And a lot of that extra flower, I know, makes its way up to the botanical company in Tawas, and the residents up there. Thank you. They love it. You know, it's great flower, and it's, you know, at a reasonable price when a lot of people aren't doing that. Sam, you got a quick question?
Well, one of the, you know, when Kevin was talking, it just kind of resembled it. You know, you can hear the heritage of the caregiver lineage in all of us. When we start talking about taking care of your close-knit peers, it's just so evident that we were all caregivers back in the day. I remember that, you know, growing and trying to build our own operations or at least become self-sufficient, I mean, it really took a village. And you can hear it in everyone's voice and everyone's stories. And it's just, it's so indicative of the state of Michigan by and large. So I just thought that was worth noting.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I like I said, I just had lunch with a really really cool family, and you know, Michigan, one of the reason it is different is we've had 10 years of, like, when we first started off in 2010, when I did, like, we just searched for any lawmaker that would even talk to us, and we ended up you know, at one time it ended up being Mike Colton. We needed a Republican, and we had Jeff Irwin on the Democratic side, and that was about it. No, we were the, you know, the redheaded stepchild. It was horrible. And then we that's when I met Dennis Shornack, who became a good friend, and we met with him and Richard McClellan, a really famous GOP lawyer, and they started advising us and moving forward. But the point is we helped some, not now, and 10 years later we helped lawmakers that are in there, including the Attorney General and the governor. We helped them win. Some more than others, local races. We donated. We had a huge voting block. And now when we go up to the Capitol, it's everyone, most of the lawmakers are tripping over themselves to come and meet with us and to talk to us. They, you know, obviously they want our money, which we've proven we can raise, and it's just going to get better. But these big companies that are trying to, you know, knock people like us out, they're just paying for a lobbyist, a high power lobbyist, and they got the money to do that. And in most states that works. Because what would we have done if it just launched? We wouldn't know how to do this. We wouldn't have those relationships. So I keep talking about Michigan being unique, but Michigan is really unique that way. We not only pay lobbyists and good lobbyists like Kevin McKinney and Robin Schneider, but we have personal relationships. We become friends. So it's just it's really unique. And Kevin, you've been you know, a big part of that, very active as well. What's your take on that?
Yeah, no, you brought up a good point. You know, when I first got back to Michigan and decided to open a dispensary and started to get involved in writing legislation and lobbying for this. You know, in my mind, it was like, oh, cool, we're going to get this done by the end of this year, you know, and that turned into like 5 years of lobbying and meeting with people and conferences. And like, you know, I think that it went a long way for us. You know, there have been, you know, 40 years of people going to the Capitol each year and protesting on the steps and wearing tie-dye shirts and smoking joints. And that got people nowhere. I think what it really came down to is making personal relationships with these people, them realizing that, like, you know, we're just normal people, you know, and that there's nothing wrong with what we're trying to do. And as time went on and cannabis became more of a medicine, people started to have, they had a family member or a friend that had been afflicted with something that they treated with cannabis, and it just gained momentum, and it's just really been great.
It is. And I talk about that even with like my own personal life. For the first time in 10 years, I feel like I have momentum. And you think about that, look, it's back at the beginning, like just getting anything done, it's like pushing a boulder. But once it got going, look at how much got done in the last 3 years compared to the 2010 to 2013. What's it going to look like here in 5 years, 10 years? It's going to be fun. It makes me excited to be alive and to think about it. It's awesome. Tom, your flower, you've been able to scale up. Definitely known in the industry for people in the know as one of the tops. And, I hear your social media posts, and I know you sell out instantly, and you get courted all the time. Well, I just can't wait for the MICAA event for you guys as well. Everyone will be, we'll all be like, you know, the hot blonde and at the bar that night. But anyways, it's funny. How do you decide, Tom?
It's been a wild ride, man. It's just getting started too. We decide, right in line with a lot of what you guys have been saying already. The sniff test, mom and pop, non-vertically integrated provisioning centers in strategic markets, not overlapping with other distribution points that we've made relationships with, people that hold our same values on cannabis. It's all those things. They share the same passion that we have with cannabis, and they're not in it just for the money. They're, you know, educational programs at the provisioning center. That's a huge thing for us. We're trying to always provide information through social media and through our bulletins to our customers on how to better communicate things, new findings, just simple things like terpenes, cannabinoids, entourage effects, all of the places that are just hammering high THC, which we have, but hammering home the high THC message is not necessarily always going to help you the best, depending on what you're going for. People that are actually going to really take this seriously and not look at it as a commodity, because cannabis has a culture. Cannabis has been a market for a very long time. Human beings and cannabis have a symbiotic relationship that needs to be understood, respected, and continued. And we cannot drop the ball on this. And I don't think we will. I don't think the plant will allow it. It's a sacred plant. And that's basically how we feel about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, last 3 or 4 years, all the big players were coming into town and from across the country, and I got told all the time how it was going to go in Michigan, how it was going to go, and all these big money guys. And, they're running it like Silicon Valley type deals. And it's just a commodity. And, you know, I just didn't sit right with me. And, you know, so, but one thing that I just keep thinking about, like, there's no other plant in this universe that's like cannabis that we know about. And it just went illegal for 80, 90 years, and it's coming out of it. Why is it like everything else? You know, why is it like, I love beer, but why is it like beer? Why is it like corn? Like, I just don't believe that. I don't think that's the way it's going to go, and we'll see, but it's, my gut's telling me it's not gonna. Sam, what do you think?
I think it's exactly that. I think everyone's trying to make sense of something that they don't quite understand yet. You know, so you've got an industry that's being cultivated like wine. It's being marketed like craft beer. But by and large, by today's standard, it's being consumed like basically Well-Burnett's. You know, and I think it's the people on the front lines that really can make the industry and what it is. And I think that's why a lot of these MSOs are starting to run from the state of Michigan. Comes back to your statement that we've had 10 years to cultivate a home-based and caregiver-dominated business model. So everyone's thinking artisan in the state of Michigan. Our thoughts are all aligned to, you know, to certainly drive that point home. And so for us, I think it is important that we do have a social responsibility to make this industry what it, you know, we feel is right. And that is, you know, giving back to the communities. That is being, you know, looking out for the small, you know, for the small mom and pops that are out there. And I think that alone will help prevent the commoditization of cannabis.
Without a doubt, man, without a doubt. So, I mean, it's, we're going to be talking about it for years to come, and we'll keep doing that. And it's going to be, you know, just, it's exciting to watch all this unfold and, to see what's happening. But, you know, one of the things we haven't really touched on about it, but what we all believe in and what Redemption is doing is you know, setting up a foundation. We'll be announcing the advisory board next week. It's a lot of great people that I all have relationships with. You know, Sam, Kevin, and Tom's wife, Krista Beller, is on that advisory panel. You know, as well as Josh Ovi from Martin Waymire, who helps me with the podcast and a lot of others. But we're going to try to make a difference. I've been kind of taking it easy, regenerating my mind, body, and soul, and took a break from politics. But, you know, I feel like it's we're all ready to the world's waking up, and we're ready to do that as well. And kind of the history behind that real quick, and then we got to get rocking, and I'm excited to talk to you about next week's episode as well. But, you know, I did do 2.5 years in federal prison and went through that experience, and getting out, it taught me how the system worked from the inside, how people have just the odds stacked against them. You know, I'm in federal prison with you know, Puerto Rican dudes from Cuba, dudes from African Americans from, you know, Baltimore, all these different cities. And a lot of it's, you know, maybe for $500 or to $100, $1,000, $2,000 worth of a drug. And they're getting 10 years, 20 years. And, you know, the culture there is if you snitch, you're probably going to end up dead in some of these guys' world. So, you know, they don't. And I'm in there with white collar dudes, and you know, that stole one guy stole $80 million from a firefighters and police pension. Guy got 6 years. So, you know, it's just it's outrageous. So we're gonna be doing a lot to you know, to work on that type of stuff. So, anyways, a little bit of a rant there. But and next week we're excited to have Jeff Irwin, state senator from Ann Arbor, who has been, I mentioned him earlier in the show, he's been an ally from the beginning when nobody else would. And that's when he was a House rep. He served 8 years. And then when that was over, he took a break for a second, and he actually worked on the Prop 1 campaign and played a huge part in that and was a huge asset. So now he won his election last in 2018. And now he is a state senator, and he will be on the show along with everybody else. And we're going to talk about his expungement bill and where it's at, when it's getting passed, what it's going to do, and what does that mean for people that have marijuana convictions and are still in jail and prison. So I'm excited about that. It's something that we all believe in, and we'll be doing a lot, and excited to talk to Jeff next week. So want to, you know, thank everyone for that did listen. Thank Tom, Sam, and Kevin for being on the show. And, you know, anyone that has any questions or would like to send any feedback, go ahead at ryanb@redemptioncanada.com. We'd love to hear it. And, you know, we're going to be doing this every week and talking about a lot of topics. So with that, everyone, you know, thanks for listening. And you guys, I know you guys are busy guys, run your company. Get back to work.
Thanks, Ryan.
You got it.
Thanks for having us, Ryan.
You got it.
Thanks, Ryan.
The Smoking Rope Podcast is produced and hosted by me, Ryan Basor, the owner of Redemption Cannabis. Have ideas for episode topics or would like to be a guest on the show? Contact us at ryanb@redemptioncanna.com. Thanks for being along for the journey.